Take the scriptures and turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. In just a moment, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. We're continuing our series, Hope Renewed. Today's the final message. And today's message is, it's not over till God says it's over. Amen? Charles Plum, the author of the book I'm No Hero, knows what it is to be in a situation where there seems to be no hope. Plum was a Navy aviator who was shot down over North Vietnam. As his plane plummeted towards the ground, it turned upside down, threatening to trap him inside. But somehow he maneuvered the plane sufficiently to be able to eject. But he ended up landing in enemy territory, and he was captured. And so for the next 6 years, he was a POW living in an 8x8 cell with a dirt floor and a tin can for a toilet. His captors regularly tortured him by twisting his body with ropes. He wrote one day, "They would twist my body and I would think, I can't take this much. I certainly know I can't take any more." And then they would twist him even tighter. But somehow he survived, no matter how intense the pain became. And one day, Charles saw a little wire poking out beneath the bamboo wall of his cell, and it was wiggling as if it was giving him a signal. And for days, he watched the wire until he built up enough courage to pull on it. And when he did, he found out that on the opposite side was another prisoner. And using the wire to signal letters of the alphabet, he began to ask questions, and they communicated. And he discovered that 200 other men were being brutalized just as he was in that prison camp. Finally, he was freed after 6 years, and Charles was flown to San Francisco, where he quickly tried to call his wife. He couldn't get a hold of her, so he called his father, who told him that during his imprisonment, his wife had left him. "Come on home, son," he said. "It's a new day. Let's start afresh." After all he'd been through, he now learned that his wife had left him. And he thought, was it even possible to start over again, to carry on, to live again? And for a while, he didn't think that would be possible. You know, we may never have endured anything as horrific as Charles did, but we have all faced situations where life seemed to twist us tighter and tighter, and we felt as though we couldn't take much more of this. And at those times, we may have found ourselves alone, or at least we felt alone, and we felt as though it's all over. And we question, is there any hope? Can I go on? Can I survive this? And no matter how hopeless or impossible the situation may be, God's answer is a resounding yes. It's not over. There is hope. You can go on. You can live again. And that was exactly the message, hallelujah, that God spoke to his people Israel through the prophet Ezekiel at a time when they thought it was all over. Read with me, if you will, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and sat me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Oh Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to those bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life, and I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and a breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet as a mighty army." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It ain't over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. You know, this is probably one of the most familiar passages from the book of Ezekiel, the vision of the valley of dry bones. And it is a message of hope and encouragement for a desperate people suffering for the sins of their nation. And they are cut off from the promised land. They are carried away captive as exiles into a foreign land, a pagan land. Jerusalem, their home was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. All of the symbols that represented their relationship with God and his covenant with them as his chosen people were all gone. Were all gone. Then Psalm 137 verses 1 through 4, it describes the sense of despair that Israel was feeling, or that Judah was feeling at this time. It says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion," when they remembered the city of God. Verse 3, "Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing to us the songs of Zion. Sing songs of praise to your God now." Verse 4 says, "How can we sing the songs of the Lord when we are in a strange land?" Basically, they're saying, how can we sing songs of praise to God under these circumstances? Going through so much, how can we sing songs of joy? And it is into the midst of this black hole of despair that God sends a powerful message of hope from the most unusual place, a boneyard. It had probably been some time in the past, a scene of battle. But it was deadly silent now. Once a great army, it was now nothing more than a valley filled with skeletal remains. The dead soldiers had been left unburied, their flesh eaten by birds, their bones bleached by the sun, so that they were white and dry. And they had been in this condition for a very long time. It was an extremely depressing situation. And it described the condition of God's people at that time. It seemed an impossible situation. With no hope. It seemed it was all over. In verse 11, the people said, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. We are cut off. This is the end for us." The people saw no hope of ever coming back from the situation that they were in. The symbolism is of a people whose hope has died and has been dead for quite some time. And although this vision has specific application to God's people, to Judah, the spiritual truth in this passage also speaks to us. You see, Ezekiel's name means strengthened by God. And in his more than 20 years of ministry, there is no doubt that God not only strengthened him, ministering in such despairing circumstances, but God also, through him, strengthened his people. And it speaks to us that no matter what situation we might be facing, we too can find strength in the Lord. We can be strengthened in the Lord. God is speaking today to people that are facing hopeless situations. You may find yourself in a hopeless situation because of what your doctor said, or because of what your bank account says, or because of what your circumstances are saying. But God wants you to know that a hopeless situation does not mean that he has left you, that he has abandoned you. Just because your circumstances did not work out as you planned does not mean that God is not still working. Hallelujah. You look at verse 1, he says, "The hand of the Lord." Whenever it speaks of the hand of the Lord, it's talking about the power of God, the might of God. And he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me." God's power, God's presence, God's protection, God's activity is still present even in the midst of the valley of dry bones. Hallelujah. No matter what situation you may be going through right now, the hand of the Lord is stretched out towards you. His presence is extended to you. He is still working. Hallelujah. And in this vision, God engages Ezekiel in a dialogue. And he asks him a question. The same question that God might be asking many of us today, who presently find ourselves facing an impossibility in our life. And the question the Lord is asking is, can these bones live? Can these bones live? And today, as we consider that question, I pray that we would be strengthened by the Lord and that our hearts would be encouraged to hope again in a God for whom nothing is impossible. Folks, it ain't over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. The first thing I want us to see is a proposition that defies human reason. A proposition that defies human reason. Verse 3, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? That defies human reason. And to be on the safe side, Ezekiel said, Lord, you only know. You only know. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that what God is proposing in this question goes against all human reason and human logic. Most likely the smallest child present here today could answer that question. Because in the natural, the question is, there's no way that these bones can live. In human terms, it's not logical, it's not scientifically possible. In human terms, it is impossible. What I want us to see is that many times we are staring at a hopeless subject, just like Ezekiel was staring at that valley of dry bones. God takes Ezekiel and places him in the middle of a boneyard. And this is the congregation that Ezekiel is standing before. This is the congregation that Ezekiel is ministering to. A bunch of dry bones. What had once been a mighty army of God's people marching to battle was now nothing more than a pile of scattered bones. They had been in that state for a very long time. There was no meat, no marrow, no moisture in those bones. There was no movement whatsoever, not even the slightest sign of life. And the greatest tragedy of these dry bones is that they could do absolutely nothing to change their state, to help themselves. They couldn't restore life to themselves. They couldn't breathe into themselves. They couldn't do anything for themselves. They were completely helpless. Now step into Ezekiel's shoes for a moment and imagine how he must have felt staring at those dry bones. That is his congregation. Now, I've preached to some pretty dead churches as I've traveled across the United States. But I'm glad to say that I've never stood before a boneyard to preach. Might have felt it at times. But I'm certain if Ezekiel had had an option of where he would preach and to whom he would preach, this would not have been at the top of his list. It wouldn't even have made his list. He's the only one alive. Wow. He's alone. And all that is before him is dried up human remains, a bunch of bones, staring at a helpless subject. Sometimes we're staring at a hopeless situation. This is a very depressing scene. These bones were dead, they were dry, they were disjointed. There really was nothing at all to be encouraged about. No trace, no sign of life. Nothing that you could even lock your hope onto and say, well, at least there's a little bit of glimmer there. You know, several years ago, a couple was enjoying a romantic drive along a wooded area in Belle Chasse, Los Angeles. And they saw something in the distance, white and shimmering in the trees, and it caught their attention, so they pulled over to see what it was. When they did, they found a dead teen hanging from a tree by a bedsheet. A farewell note was attached, and it was addressed simply to Mom and Dad. As the couple picked up the note, they began to read it, and the note read, I never did develop into a real person, and I cannot tolerate the false and empty existence I've created. What frustrated me most in the last year was that I had built no ties to family or friends. There was nothing of lasting worth and value. I had a detached existence. I am a bomb of frustration and should never marry or have children. It is safest to defuse the bomb harmlessly now. Simply cremate me as John Doe. Police circulated the teen's description. They sent out his prints to law enforcement all across the country. He was later buried, unidentified, and unclaimed. No one ever came forward to say, this is our son, this is our friend, this is our relative. This young man felt hopeless, felt alone, as if he had nothing to live for. Folks, what are your dry bones? He looked at his life and he saw dry bones. What are your dry bones? What hopeless situations may you be facing? What impossibility are you staring at? See, the difference between us and this young man who took his life is that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. We know a God for whom nothing is hopeless and nothing is impossible. Remember Ezekiel standing alone before a huge valley of dry bones, faced with the impossible task of making these bones live again. And God is asking you the same question he asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live? It is a proposition that defies human reason, but it is a proposition that demands faith. A problem that demands divine resources. I want you to understand that a miracle is simply an impossibility that requires divine power. In verses 1 and 2, Ezekiel doesn't say a word. All he knows is that God has taken him to a place of impossibility where there is not even a glimmer of hope. And as he stands staring at these bones, God asks him the question, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, God wasn't seeking information. God already knew whether or not those bones could live. He was cueing Ezekiel that he was up to something. God was giving Ezekiel an indicator that I want to move in this situation. I want to do something miraculous in this situation. And Ezekiel's answer to that question is very cautious and wise. Lord, you alone know. You know, sometimes we know that our God can do anything. But when the doctor says stage 4 cancer, and the word of God asks us, do you believe that I can heal? Well, how do we answer? Do we answer kind of, you know, indifferently like Ezekiel does? Lord, you only know. Or do we say, I know, God, that you are my healer. I know, God, that you are able. You see, there's many times that we are asked the question in our life, can these bones live? What will our answer be in that situation? Ezekiel said, you alone know. But he did say, sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. That's the word he uses in the Hebrew. And it means, God, you're in control of everything. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, God is in the heavens. He does whatsoever he pleases. God can do anything he wants. There is nothing that can stop him. Hallelujah. And the words you alone know indicate that we don't know, but God is not limited by our limitations. We may not be able to see a way out. Our situation may seem impossible, but God is not limited by what limits us. Hallelujah. Folks, we need to remember that no matter how difficult or hopeless a situation may seem to us, God is still in control. And there is nothing that can stop him when he desires to move. Hallelujah. A miracle is simply an impossibility that reveals divine power. Verses 7 through 10, God moves and the bones come together, bone to bone. Tendon comes upon the bones, flesh comes upon the bones, and then finally breath enters into them and they stand to their feet as a mighty army. Our impossibilities, and I've said it before, but I believe it in my heart, our impossibilities are merely God's opportunities to show himself mighty on our behalf. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. I love the words of an old song. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other God can do. Hallelujah. Folks, you know, a few years ago, when we got involved first in the property and purchasing the property, and we had $3.5 million that we put down. We had to sign a note for $2 million. I had never signed my name to a document that had that many zeros after it. My signature must have looked like this as I was signing it. I know it was what God was calling us to do, but it seemed like an impossibility to us at that moment because we had just begun a recession. In fact, the recession is what made that piece of property affordable to us. It was about half the price of what it had been just months before. But it was with fear and trepidation that I signed that paper because $2 million, that's a big number. But over the next 5 years, God enabled us to pay that off. And then we had to move forward with this first phase of our building project. In order to not lose our site plan approval, we had to break ground before that 5 years was up so that we could confirm our site plan approval. And so we had to get involved, even though financially we were not ready to do so. We had to get involved in a building program. Phase one, which is just the earth prep and the site pad and the parking lot and the drainage, $2.4 million. If I thought signing $2 million was bad, $2.4 million was even worse. And now, because of the recession, our giving had declined even further. And even though I knew that that was what God was calling us to do, personally, humanly, it was so big, it seemed impossible to me. But I know that with our God, nothing is impossible. And how wonderful our God is, that just as we're about to complete this phase of the building project, God came through for us in a wonderful way through one of his gracious servants who passed away and left to us what will be approximately a $500,000 settlement to her will when it all is said and done. And already we have received $200,000 that has gone to pay on that loan. But you know what? I believe that was, and God gave it to us right as the construction is about to be completed. It is a sign of God saying to us, I am with you. I am at work in the midst of this. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Can these bones live? Hallelujah. And he asked that to you in your personal life as well. Do you have any rivers you think are uncrossable? Any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. Hallelujah. Folks, your impossibility gives God the opportunity to move in the realm of his specialty. Hallelujah. Which is the miraculous. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Thirdly, a possibility that depends upon a faith response. God does not work independently from our response of faith. In verse 4, he said, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones. Preach to these dead bones. Now only God could raise up those bones. Only God had the answer. But God acts in response to our faith. And what does faith require of us? It requires us to preach to the dead bones, to the hopeless situation, to the impossible situation. Faith requires us to proclaim the word of God with expectancy. Hallelujah. God was calling Ezekiel to declare the word of the Lord by faith over the situation. Ezekiel could not have preached to those dry bones if he did not believe that God was going to do something. We must declare the word of God over our hopeless situations. We must declare by faith the word of God over our impossibilities. Satan may be shouting in your ears, it's impossible, it's hopeless, it's over, there is nothing that can be done. But your faith has to rise above Satan's lies. And you've got to begin to proclaim by faith the word of God over your situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your bank account says I'm broke, if you've been managing your finances wisely, and you've been honoring God with your giving, then you can take God's word. He said, seek me first and my righteousness, and I will add all of these things unto you. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. And you begin to take that pile of bills, and you take that bank statement, and you begin to declare God's word over it in the name of Jesus. If the doctor says you're sick, even if the doctor says something as scary a stage 4 cancer. What do? Go off into a corner somewhere and go into a despair and shrivel up and die before your time? No, you take out the word of God and you highlight every promise of healing and you begin to proclaim it by faith over your body and you say, body, in the name of Jesus, I am healed by his stripes. I am healed. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Glory. My God heals some of my diseases. No, the scripture says, Lord, you are the God who heals all of my diseases. Body, I command you now to line up with the word of God. Cancer, you are not in line with God's word. So I curse you and I command you to depart from my body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Declare the word of God over your valley of dry bones. Glory to his name. Your son or your daughter is backslidden. What do? Throw up your hands in despair or turn to the word of God where he says that he is married to the backslider and you begin to declare his word over their life and you begin to declare that you believe that he is bringing them home just as he brought the prodigal home. Hallelujah. Folks, speak the word by faith. Declare it with expectancy over your situation. God's word is powerful. But when he created the worlds, he said, let there be light. And it was. Now get this in your spirit. God's word, spoken from your mouth in faith, is as powerful as God's word, spoken from his mouth. Because he spoke it first. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Folks, his word in our mouth is as powerful as his word that came from his mouth because it came from his mouth. Hallelujah. So declare his word over your situation. Faith requires us to pray with fervency. First, he told Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones, to declare the word of God over the dry bones. Then he tells Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind. The wind represents the spirit. In fact, both the Hebrew word for spirit and the Greek word for spirit, ruach and pneuma, also mean wind. They also mean wind. And God is saying, cry out to me. Cry out to my spirit to breathe upon these bones. Because it is by my spirit, the spirit of life, that these bones will be restored. Folks, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by his spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by your human effort. It's not by your ingenuity. It's not by your diligence. Hallelujah. But it is by his spirit. Glory to his name. All things are made possible. Hallelujah. And then faith requires us to act in obedience. Faith without works is dead. God told Ezekiel what to do, but it would have just stopped there and those bones would have remained dry and dead if Ezekiel had not taken action. Faith without works is dead. God told Ezekiel what to do. He was to proclaim the word. He was to pray and cry out to the Spirit. And when Ezekiel did what God commanded him to do, he got the results that God promised him would come. See, this is where sometimes we miss our miracle. Because we take the word of God, we believe the word of God, we declare the word of God, we pray, but we don't act. We don't act. God tells us if we will do what he tells us to do, we will get the results that he promised we'll get. Hallelujah. Faith requires us to act in obedience. Folks, if it seems like it is over, if it seems like there is no hope, If it seems like you are facing an impossible situation, God is asking you the question today, can these bones live? Why is God asking you that question? Because God wants to do a miracle. God wants to do something in your life. God wants to do something in your situation to glorify Himself. It ain't over till God says it's over. Hallelujah. A dead marriage can be brought back to life. A lifeless family can be restored. A body racked with disease can be healed. A church can come back to life. A business can come back to life. A dream can come back to life. We just have to believe and declare God's word and act in faith. Because it's not over till God says it's over. God is in control. And there is nothing that He cannot do. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Because Your word is alive and powerful. And it accomplishes every purpose for which You have sent it forth. It does not return to You void. Father, I pray that this morning we would lay a hold of Your word in our spirit, Lord God. And Father, that we would rise up in faith like the prophet Ezekiel. And we would begin to declare Your word over our situation. That we would begin to cry out in faith and believe Your spirit to move. And that we would act in obedience and we would see the miraculous released. In whatever situation we face, we are believing You to do this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. If you're facing a valley of dry bones, if you're facing a hopeless, impossible situation right now, something that screams to you, it's over, I want to invite you to come to this altar and let faith arise in your heart to believe the word of God this morning. Because God is saying to you, it's not over until He says it's over. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to grab a hold of some promise of God that relates to your situation. I want you by faith to begin to preach it to your problem. Declare it over your problem right now. Begin to declare the word of God over your problem right now. If you're sick, begin to declare, by His stripes I am healed. Begin to declare, He is the Lord that heals all of my diseases. Hallelujah. Begin to declare that He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth us. Glory to His name. Whatever your need is, by faith, begin to declare it over your life. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now, Lord God, that faith would be quickened in the hearts of Your people, Lord God. Father, I pray right now that they would rise up and lay a hold of Your promise for them, Lord God, and that they would begin to declare that promise with faith, with spiritual authority over their situation and over their circumstance, Lord God. Father, I pray that they would begin to cry out in spirit-inspired intercession, believing, Lord God, that You can do all things, Lord God, trusting nothing in self, for it is not by might nor by power, but trusting wholly in You, because it is only by Your Spirit, O God, that You are able to do all things, Lord God. Father, we are believing You for the release of Your mighty power into each one of these lives today. And Father, I pray that we would act in obedience with the word that we have heard, that we would act in obedience with the word that is recorded for us in Scripture, and that as we act in obedience, that we would see the promised result released in each and every one of these lives. Breathe life back into every hopeless and impossible situation, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.